When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey, Star Wars fans, welcome back to Star Wars Hangout. This is Lottie.
And this is Ez.
And we're trying to get an intro here for probably 20 minutes.
20 minutes.
At 20 least. Minutes. Yeah.
You know, people, I could just stick with the standard, you know, introduce the podcast, but that's not fun.
No.
I mean,
it is too, but change it up. You know,
Sometimes you gotta change it up, but it's kind of boring. Sometimes I'm just like, blah, 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 and I just like spit it out super fast, and I'm like, gah, 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 and I can't even stop. So it's nice to have you introduce the podcast because then I can stop and think for a second
and sip on
my cold brew. I mean, sometimes co-pilots gotta take over, especially when I was sinking the ship last episode.
Oh, yeah.
Sinking the ship.
What? You weren't sinking the ship.
Oh, it was gone. It was gone. I don't know.
Well, brought it back up.
Well, I was going to say, you were back there working on the hyperdrive, and last episode, the whole thing was cracked. What's crazy is nobody can see it.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to, and this is our plan moving forward, which is to get back in our studio. We told you guys last episode we're going to be moving, and we're going to be moving and setting up our new studio, which I'm excited for. Are you excited for that?
Oh, yeah. Yes. So excited.
You think you could deck out something really sick behind us, like some nice lights, and like we can get some... Remember that Star Wars sign I was going to get? That little neon Star Wars sign that I found? No, you don't remember. That's okay.
And
you know what?
I should say yes now.
You know what? Folks out there who were just listening, you in the future, you will be able to look into Lottie's eyes and say she has not a clue what Ez is saying to her right now. So, which is a little intimidating because a lot of times I'm just explaining Star Wars and you're like, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I forget. So I always remind our audience that you haven't seen Clone Wars.
No.
And to talk about these episodes with Bad Batch is like you kind of have to, I've been filling in a lot of the gaps or whatever because we just don't limit it on time.
Yeah.
Limited on time and I want to make sure
there's never enough time.
Well, there's some Mandalorian stuff going on, which is going to be crazy. So I got to get you ready for Mandalorian and Rebels. And we've been having a blast. Anybody who has been waiting on the Rebels stuff, I promise it's going to be worth the wait because we just finished season 3.
Yeah.
So there is the update on that.
Yeah. We just have to bust through it because... We have to get ready for Mandalorian. It's just, we're on a timer.
We got to get it ready. And then also, at the same time, we are moving and we have stuff going on and we're still doing school. And it's just crazy. Actually crazy. But it's fun and it's exciting. So I'm looking forward to that. And I think I said it last episode. I'm looking forward to high-speed internet again. So that way I can upload videos. So.
Sí.
Yeah. Sí. Ya. ¿Cómo estás? All right. Sorry. Anyway, so this episode, friends, we are actually talking about two episodes. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about The Bad Batch. We've got season two, episode 7 and episode 8. And this all starts with the clone conspiracy. There's a conspiracy going on, and it involves the clones. So the Imperial Senate is pushing for this bill that they want to authorize the military recruitment of Imperial citizens.
Yeah.
They're replacing the clone trooper, right? Rampart is behind this. Now, Inter-Senator Ryo Chuchi. Did I say that right?
Yes, you did.
Whoa, been trying to say that for 15 minutes before we started. But you will remember some of you, Ryo, from Clone Wars. Yeah, I didn't actually. I had to kind of go look her up again and figure out what it was that she was doing. But it was cool. This was a cool little dig, a little connection back to the Clone Wars episodes. And so there she was. She's defending the clones. She's trying to gain them more rights. We have, I think it's one of the troopers that we have, Slip and Cade. So the name is the two troopers who were talking at the beginning, and they're talking about being on Rampart's ship and saying, hey, we saw what went down at Kamino.
Right. Should we say something?
Yeah. If you see something, say something. But it's sort of, you know, Crosshair has been saying that good troopers follow orders.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's against their nature, kind of. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So they want to speak up, and actually, it seems like Rampart is sort of tracking some of these guys who he thinks might tell on him. And
with a mysterious other trooper.
Right, other bounty hunter trooper guy situation thing. So who actually ends up killing one of these guys to keep him both of them, actually.
True.
Ultimately, both of them are dead because they're trying to get this secret out there.
Yeah.
What they did was wrong. It's their home. And the Kaminoans are gone because of it. There's just a handful of them left now in the galaxy. It's straight genocide. You know, it's terrible.
Yeah.
So the Empire's behind this, and Rampart himself is behind this. Now, what we find out, we're going to blend episode 7 and 8 together because we need to talk about both of them. Palpatine will show up later.
Yeah.
Surprise. So hopefully I tagged this episode with spoilers on that. you guys know. You guys, they both dropped today, so we're good. But hey, by the way, the writer on this episode.
Oh, who was
it? The writer, his name is Ezra.
Oh, Ezra Nachman.
Hello, Ezra Nachman. You want to come talk to me, Ezra? Maybe we talk about Ezra Bridger.
Yeah, you should.
We'll get a trio of Bridgers up in here, you know, or Ezras. Sorry. Talking about Bridgers. Anyways. But yeah, cool. I just noticed that as I was reading the summary. But we're going to blend these episodes. We're going to talk about both of them because the next episode, Truth and Consequences, like you kind of, they blend together and this is all sort of one big arc. So it was cool to see that they dropped this today. And I told you before it started, I was like, something big.
Yeah.
Something big's going to happen. And Palpatine. Palpatine shows up and the whole nine yards. So anyway, really cool. Now, these guys, as they're trying to get out, the clones are trying to get out, they call Rex. And they say, hey, Rex, you know, like we don't know that at first, but he wants out, and then at the same time, he is talking to Chuchi, who is sort of shown up at that same bar cantina that they were at, and is trying to say, I'm here to help you guys. We need a plan. Mm-hmm. We're not just going to let you go out there and there is no real plan for the clones, for like a pension plan or anything, or what do you do? How do they continue life? They are age accelerated, and so that seems to be like their life expectancy could be creeping up on us quick. Yep. So right,
and they all look kind of not they super look old, older. But like
these two guys did, right? Slip and Cade.
And I mean war does a lot of that too to people. If you, it ages you totally, but they definitely look not well, miserable if you want. They just all hang out at a bar and don't know what to do
ragged,
with their lives.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And they say that's not what we've been programmed to do. We want to fight. That's all they know all their lives.
That's all they know.
Fighting. Yep.
Yep. Since they were young, right? Mm-hmm. So they've been training for this, and there's a lot of these different kind of these groups that are popping up in the mid rim or the outer rim that are fighting back. And some people are wondering, is that Palpatine? Is this keeping him in power because there's a threat? If there's a threat, then I can get my army. But then the threat goes away. It's the whole, this similar to what happened in Clone War. But that's all kind of going on. So let's talk about episode 8 real quick. I just want to read some of the summary and then we can kind of do some bigger takeaways. So Rex contacts the Bad Batch and he asks them to actually show up and help him with Senator Ryo on Coruscant. And they're going to sort of help basically get the evidence from Rampart's ship. It is his Star Destroyer. And I think one of the guys, what was it, Cade or Slip, one of the two, had a backup. You could actually see the fight. They saved the file. It was, I mean, Rampart tried to erase it, but one of them was like, guilty conscious, said, I don't know, maybe we should save this. This is pretty bad. So he does, and he tells them, hey, that's where you can go get it. So they're going to go in there and get that. Now, they also have, and I don't remember her name, but the former senator from Camino, one of the Caminoans, the funding was diverted to a secret military operation of some kind. Where was that funding going? They're asking Rampart about it. Where's the money? Bail Organa's in this episode. He says follow the money, right? So let me ask you this. Where do you think this I don't know. How do you feel, I guess, about where we are or how this fits into like the gap right here? Do you understand, I guess, like what's happening here in the Senate? Because I think, because I've been bouncing you all over Star Wars. Like, we saw Mon Mothma in the, remember two episodes ago, we were like watching, and I don't mean in Bad Batch Friends, I mean in like in Rebels, we were watching Mon Mothma show up and leave the Senate.
Yeah.
Now we're back to the Senate and we're back here in the early stages of it. So is that all, any of that confused?
Order 66 just happened and now they want to get rid of the kind of just, but like, you know, a little bit ago. And now they want to get rid of the old troopers while installing new troopers.
Exactly.
And it doesn't seem really, like, a lot of them say, why? Like, why? We have more other problems. We want our funding to go.
Yes. They want to focus on other issues and things like that, right? So
they think it's we have an era of peace now, right?
Yes.
The war stopped.
Right.
That's what everyone's thinking.
Right. And I remember Palpatine said, the same power that you give me, I'll lay it down, etc., blah, blah, blah. He never did. Turned it into an empire.
Yep.
Yada, yada. Bail Organa makes a subtle kind of dig at him in his when he's talking to the Senate, just a little bit. And remember, at one point, I mean, Palpatine hadn't been seen in so long. He hadn't showed back up to the Senate in quite some time. So now all of a sudden, he's showing up when it matters most here to accuse Rampart of being a lone actor, a lone wolf doing this on his own. And he sure did not. He was like, I was following orders. He almost could have pointed at Palpatine and said, it's him.
I wonder why he didn't do that. But They warned him. That blue guy warned him.
Yeah, he did. Absolutely.
Like
absolutely.
Palpatine's right hand.
Right. Don't speak. Masamita. Don't mess. Yeah, for sure. So, you know what? You just made me really proud, too, by the way. You know what's going on.
Oh, yeah.
It has been my job to train you as my Padawan.
I'm proud of you that you didn't hit the microphone when you did that motion.
Bowing
to me.
Just wait till we turn the cameras on. People can actually see the ridiculousness that goes on over here. Like, it's wild, guys. I'm afraid to show you guys what happens. The number of mic bops that we have going on. Anyway, you know, great job. And so, yeah, I guess, have we seen, I don't even think, did we see Mon Mothma?
In
Bad Batch?
Yet? I don't think so, no.
I don't know. It's a more Organa, Bail Organa.
I had a question for you. Is this the first time we see Coruscant in Bad Batch?
I think so, because, because Omega basically was like, they were explaining to her what Coruscant is.
Yeah.
And they're like, this is sort of the center, right? And this is sort of the heart of the Empire.
Like the capital planet. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that was cool. Seeing Omega on Coruscant. And is that where all the clones kind of ended up? The rest of them?
Yeah, so they're still, I mean, a lot of them, they are there. We've been, you know that wall that we've seen where all of their names are listed there?
Yes.
And we saw a couple episodes, Crosshair was there, and he was talking to Commander Cody and all that kind of stuff. So you go back to that. It's a memorial, it seems like, anyways, to me. And you've got sort of the garrison. You've got, like, some troops there. You've got some clone troopers. So we are seeing their, their army. And actually, we saw it in the Clone Wars when Yoda and Mace Windu, and they're looking out and they're talking about the Clone Wars have begun, you can see them landing and establishing sort of their presence on Coruscant in that movie. And they will continue to kind of do that. So they build their military presence there. A lot of them are there. The cloning facility, it was a training facility. So Kamino, where they're from, right? They're created there, they're trained there, all that good stuff, and then they go out. But this is their home sort of, I guess, base, capital.
What's left.
Capital planet,
Yeah.
Now, you bring up some interesting points here, though, mentioning Coruscant. Remember I was telling you during the episode, that big sort of hole or void, it's sort of like as you descend, I think it was, Rex is taking Senator Ryo there, and they sort of regroup, the Bad Batch meet there.
Yes.
And he says, they're like, what is this place?
Yeah.
Rex. that actually is, I think it's in the final season, I think, of Clone Wars. It's the Martez sisters are there, and so this
yeah,
is again,
he says that. Yeah,
yeah, something that kind all, of. Yeah, he mentions them vaguely, and I sort of blurted that out, yeah. And I said, all right, yeah, we'll talk about them later. They show up from time to time, so it was a place where Ahsoka went for refuge after she's exiled, and so not that particular place, but she meets those sisters there later on, and it's a part of that whole arc where she eventually fights Maul at the end of Clone Wars.
Oh.
So before that are tons of episodes that I didn't actually, we kind of sped through those because I'm like, you got to see the end.
Yeah.
You got to see the end of Clone Wars. Yeah, yeah. We don't have time
for
to
Rebels,
do it.
Yeah. Well, it's important for Rebels.
It was important, right? Because you had to know about the Mandalorians and how he took over, the Darksaber, the whole nine yards, and really what's going on. And Ahsoka's role with that and why and how Ahsoka knows Bo-Katan and how now she knows Sabine Maul. And all that stuff. And Maul. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, that was just a quick little connection to that season. Mm-hmm. And that's Bad Batch does a lot of that, which is tying us back to it's helping us make connections to the Clone Wars. These are clone troopers. What are they going through? And then how is the Bad Batch important in that? And how are they helping the clones make it through? And how is the Empire transitioning away from them to this age of stormtrooper?
Mm-hmm.
Because that is a big deal. It's a question that hasn't really been answered, which is like, how do we get stormtroopers? What actually happened to all the clones? Right. People used to ask those questions all the time, and they've given us bits and pieces here. And now we're really seeing firsthand exactly what's going down in the Senate and how Rampart, I mean, it's been killing off anybody who talks about this massive, cover up. Yeah.
I was just wondering during the episode two, not episode two, but the
this episode as well. I'm always wondering about episode two, to be honest with you. I really am. It's one of my favorites. Sorry. All right. Breathe.
Yeah.
Recover. Okay.
So why?
It's fine. I knew the giggle. Once the giggles start with Lottie, it's almost like what Yoda says, and I love this quote again, where once you start down the giggle path, forever will it dominate your destiny.
Okay? That's why I need to meditate to quickly come back to my focus.
Yes.
The troopers.
Yeah.
Why did they, they're age accelerated, that's why they didn't really want them anymore, right? And they were kind of like, they served their purpose. But why did they replace it with stormtroopers? Are no clones, right? They're just normal people who are trained to be stormtroopers?
Yeah, military recruits who are believers in the cause.
Okay.
Who are...
That's what we see. For example, Ezra, he for a little bit sneaks into one of those training facilities for young people who want to be stormtroopers.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So you have the Imperial Academy.
Yeah.
Which is that a lot of times was starfight, like that was like TIE fighters and things like that. So, but yeah, they also could be going to be an officer. They could be going to...
So stormtroopers are more like the lower...
Yeah, your ground, your...
Yeah, not lower, but like, yeah. I mean, the rank is definitely lower than an officer.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, for sure. So a bit more responsibility when you're in a TIE fighter versus when you're just handed a blaster and you're shooting stuff. I don't know if that's true or not. It just seems that way.
Then I'm wondering though, like
some people are probably raging at me, like as I come on, I don't know.
I was just not finished with my question. Really?
Come on. Yes.
Why train a whole new batch of people and you have to and they're just normal people who age, who die. You just have to retrain over and over and over again. What is the benefit that they're all listening to Palpatine? Is that the whole benefit?
I think it's...
I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like...
To me, it seems like, okay, what's the big deal?
Well, the point that Palpatine makes here at the end... That all of them are like good troopers follow orders.
And they don't.
Really what Palpatine does want is troopers to do exactly what they did, which is to just follow blindly and don't ask questions. Yeah. And then he uses it when they start to ask questions and it starts to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He then points out, wow, look how blindly they followed this evil Rampart. And they did whatever he asked them to do, and truly that is what he wants.
Exactly what he wants,
right? But it's like by pointing that out, it does this whole political theater where he's just like, hey, looky over here,
okay.
don't mind what I'm doing. Yeah. I know that it's an issue and I want to replace them. Yeah, so.
Okay, so he really thinks they have loyalty issues and that's why he wants to replace them.
Well, the other thing too, what I think a lot of it is as well is that you have the clone army was created so quickly, so fast. When Obi-Wan shows up, it's like, whoa, with the Separatists could not believe how quickly, I mean, again, they had been working on that for 10 years apparently or whatever, but still, if that technology gets out into another group, like if let's say the rebels wanted to use it or something, or some other faction, some other group wanted to fight against Palpatine and use that technology and create a clone army themselves and fight him, they could, right? And they could mimic that. So I kind of think he wants it. He wants it for himself. He wants the technology. Yeah. He wants the cloning, and he wants to shut it down, and he wants to move into something.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Something else.
Gotcha.
And also they are, I think they're on a timer sort of, I feel like, in terms of, I know Rex hangs around for a while though, so you really can't say that exactly. He's getting older, but I mean, Rex, the theory is that Rex sort of is there on Endor. I don't know if that's true or not or confirmed. You guys let me know, but people think that Rex was actually in episode 6, Return of the Jedi.
Okay. Whoa.
Yeah. So
we have to rewatch that one.
Crazy. That's sorry cool. if I just.
Yeah.
I feel like I spoiled some Rebels. I'm not actually sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just amazed.
About to pull a Jedi mind trick on you and tell you to forget everything I just said there. Anyway. But yeah. So, but I'm thinking they're on a timer and maybe they're not as good. Maybe they're, you know, whatever. But also, you have people who if they want to join up with the Empire, maybe that's the thing. They're into that.
Yes, that's a huge thing. They think they do it on their own turn. Like, they made the decision to... They support the Empire, not because they told them to, but they recruited specifically people who...
Yeah.
Right? Who want to support the Empire. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the most clever things about Palpatine is that he's not letting people know they're on the dark side.
No,
that's not how you're going to get a whole galaxy to sort of follow you. It's like he uses all these things from the dark. He works from the shadows. Publicly, he comes out and he's just like, yeah, that's messed up, Rampart. Yeah. Somebody arrest that guy. But he was the guy in the shadows saying, hey, somebody, we got to bombard Kamino. Shut it down for whatever reason. Yeah. Get their technology. Get Nala Se. Senator Mount Tantus. I got secret projects going on. So yeah, I think that's a good question. It's sort of the why. Why go with the stormtroopers, and then what is Palpatine really trying to do? So it was cool to see him in this episode, though. It was really cool to feel his presence as he came through the Senate chamber there, and it gets super quiet. You can almost feel like, even though he's presenting himself as the Emperor, he still has that dark side energy about him. There are no Jedi now who can pick up on or point out that it doesn't matter. They can't say he's a Sith Lord. Don't trust him. No. Yeah. No one can speak against him. So he can almost openly use some of his power in that chamber without any Jedi knowing.
Yeah.
See, before he was cloaking himself. He cloaked himself in his powers and his abilities. He was standing across from Master Yoda. I mean, he's the literal Dark Lord of the Sith. And Master Yoda is sitting there with Mace Windu and the other council members, and they can't sense him at all.
He's great at occlumency.
Absolutely he is. He is. So that's good Harry Potter reference there. Now I imagine maybe he's using some of that as he enters the chamber and talks and plays the game of politics there.
Oh, yeah, he plays it so well. I mean,
that's
unfortunate.
Well, one of the questions I see sometimes is sort of like, why did he keep the Senate around for so long?
Yeah.
And he actually, over time, when you look at what they're building here and they're building up this, they make a lot of things fit with Episode 4. Like, we know what happens in Episode 4. It's the first thing that comes out. It's A New Hope. It's Star Wars, 1977.
Yeah.
The whole thing. So everything that's said in that movie is sacred. Whatever was talked about, like one of the opening conversations that Tarkin is having with him on the Death Star is mm-hmm. that the Senate has been disbanded. The Senate in episode 4 is just gone. I mean, like literally Palpatine says, you no longer exist in the Empire. I no longer need you. And immediately somebody says, wait, how is the Emperor going to keep control of all of the, like keep sort of a grasp on, mm-hmm. on the politics or the things that are going on in other systems?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Tarkin says that the regional governors mm-hmm. will be given control.
Yeah.
So like we were watching Rebels, Governor Price, for example, the Lothal system.
Right.
She's in charge.
Okay.
Now, at the time of Rebels, you still have the Senate intact,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but they have far less power. So over all these years, Palpatine is going to reduce their power to the point where it doesn't even matter. And then you've got like Mon Mothma and everybody leaving and starting the rebellion and stuff like that. But but at this point in time, he still has to play political theater.
Yeah, and he's got to give the opposition a voice and everything. Yeah.
Right, right.
And I love that we see Senator Organa, because it always makes me think like, oh, is he going back home to little Leia? And like, you know,
yes.
after the Senate
absolutely.
Sessions are over.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That's so true. Yeah. Yeah, because he is. He was so happy.
Yeah.
He was so happy to have Leia, and he's raising Leia, and it was so cool to see again that, you know, to see him in Obi-Wan and to see Leia and the whole 9 years, to go to Alderaan, place we hadn't been. But yeah, it does make you feel good to see him, you know, out doing his thing in the early stages of recruiting people, doing things secretly and trying to warn other senators and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. If the Senate knew that Emperor Palpatine was Darth Sidious, they would all band. Don't you think they'd all band together against him?
I hope so. Yeah.
Right. If
I
he mean, was, if you knew how evil and you knew what his intentions were, and if you saw through his right. I mean, Yoda says the shroud of the dark side has fallen. I mean, like really, that they, the Jedi who were in, you know, in tune with the Force, could now sort of see that something was going on. But at large, these individuals, they can't. He still can blind them, and they don't know who he is or what is going on. There are some people who can see through it, like Bail Organa, right?
Yeah.
And some of these other senators are starting to see some of the issues, or some of them are saying, hey, I can't fight against him and all
I'm
the people
be
he
with
is.
Him.
Yeah. And my people need me to secure some funding, so I'm going to play along for a while. And this, and they're doing this dance back and forth. It's, it's tricky.
I do feel like you get the feeling that there is people who, more and more people of his, I don't know how many people he has around him, really.
Yeah.
I feel like I feel like he keeps that secret.
Oh, yeah, it's secret.
And there's more and more who are infiltrate the Senate, right?
Right.
Under his command.
Yeah, yeah. So you have Sly Moore. Remember we were in Andor, and Perrin was setting up the dinner table for Mon Mothma's guest, and he talked about Sly Moore. He mentioned Sly Moore. So that's one of the characters who is close to Palpatine. And is actually a Force adept and everything. And
she's,
but we see her in episode 2. She looks kind of spooky. So if you want to look her up, it's just Sly Moore. And then we see the blue individual, Mas Amita.
Okay. I remember Sly Moore.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Very
great name.
These characters look a little spooky. Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, Mas Amita hangs around for a while. He's the vice chair of the Galactic Senate. And he was there during the time of Chancellor Valorum. He's been there for a long time.
Yeah.
And he full on is working with Palpatine. So you know he's working with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And there are others. And we can do that one time. We'll do an episode where we kind of break down some of the stuff from Legends. Who was in Palpatine's inner circle?
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that in Legends, and then talk about that in canon and what we know. That'd be a cool episode, actually.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Any other big thoughts and takeaways, I guess, from this? I mean, Omega gets to see the Senate.
Yeah, that was cool. She was more in a passive role this episode, but I thought it was, I love seeing her, like you said, she learned so much, and I love seeing her in that role of just observing and learning.
Yes.
And I felt like she learned a lot this episode, and I loved Senator Chuchi. She's cool.
Yes.
She speaks up for the, even though she doesn't have to. But she just feels like it's so unfair. The clones don't have a voice. Why are they not here represented in the Senate?
Right.
Very valid question.
Yeah.
And great that she speaks out for them, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So she is from, Ryo Chuchi is a senator from the moon Pantora, which orbits around the icy wasteland of Ortoplatunia.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there you go.
That's cool.
That's sort of who she is. And cool that it's an icy wasteland, you know, and that her moon orbits that, because they almost have that icy, you know, blue
right.
skin yeah. and everything. She looks really cool. Again, not actually related to Thrawn or his yeah. the Chiss ascendancy. Totally different. Mm-hmm. Eye color different and things like that kind of stand out. But
yeah,
I think she's working with like Obi-Wan, Anakin, and Rex. Yep. Right at some point.
She was friends with Padme.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah, that we'll have to go back. Once we get into Clone Wars, we'll be able to like, cover, you know, that exact battle and everything that she was working for there. But anyway, really cool character.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Omega just gets to kind of tag along, which I thought was interesting. Yeah. They trust her.
Yeah.
I mean, again, she knows that I guess there's confidence and they both know each other's secrets a little bit too yeah. and could be exposing right. one another. So, yeah, but she gets to walk alongside Bail Organa for a little bit.
Yes.
Which was cool.
That was super cool. Yeah.
Yep. So, in general, though, this was just, it was a cool episode just to see what's going on at this more of a galactic stage. Because mm-hmm. what we've been seeing in the Bad Batch is really just the Batch, right? Clone Force 99 right. running around doing different odd missions and jobs for Sid.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're back talking to Rex and they're helping out. They're trying to figure out their place in the galaxy.
Right.
And at the end of this, Echo says, "That's it, fellas, for me."
And you
can tell.
You totally caught on and was like, "Oh, Echo." And I was like, "What's happening? Like, I don't get
it." You were like, "Omega."
I don't get
it. Oh, that was so cute. So cute. You were like, "Wait, what's happening?" And I was like, "He's out. He's out. It's time." So, because he had been mentioning it from the very first episode.
Mm-hmm.
We should be doing more, guys. Yeah. He's talking to Hunter about what they should be doing. There's people out there that need our help.
Yeah.
And it's not that those guys aren't going to do that. It's just Echo has come to this conclusion much quicker.
Mm-hmm.
He even talks to Omega about how, was it Skeko Minor, where he was at and where he was being held and how he was saved and how the Bad Batch saved him. That's why he joined up. And now his friend Rex needs him. Rex was there, got him out. So he needs to go back and help these guys and help his other brothers.
Yeah.
And he feels closer to them because he was a reg at one point. He was a regular clone trooper. Mm-hmm. They call him regs. And the Bad Batch he fits into them now because of all the alterations and the stuff that happened to him during the war. But he's going back to work with them. He tells Omega that this is not the end. Right? He'll see her in the future, which is great.
Yeah.
Will he? I don't know. I don't know. My big prediction is she has been working and learning all these different skills, this different skill set and everything. What do you see?
Oh, nothing.
Do you see a stink bug?
No. I was just... Sorry, continue, because I know where you're going.
Oh, okay. That's what it was. Oh, isn't that sad that the same look you have in your eyes for a stink bug is the same look you have when I'm about to say Omega is going to be captured and they're going to have to like rally the troops to go get her, right?
Oh,
that was another mic bop, by the way.
I thought you were going to say something different.
Oh, that she was going to die or something?
No, that she learned all that stuff because they, or some of them, are going to...
They are. Not make it. Bad Batch, don't make it. I don't think...
Oh, you don't think... Well, we don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. No, there's nothing...
Yeah, well, we know.
That's always the interesting thing is like, is there anything out there in the future that would say the Bad Batch are still around?
Mm-hmm.
No. There's nothing that tells us whether Omega is still around. And that's the thing that I think... When you think about when you're making something new, you wonder, okay, as I said, I think this was last episode or maybe this, I don't know, it's all blending together for me. But why does Dave Filoni create these characters? And why did he create Omega? What's the purpose and how does it tie into Mandalorian, Grogu, that whole other story that he's working on in the Mandoverse?
Mm-hmm.
It's the bridge. It's the bridge between this gap and that gap.
Yeah.
It's a, you know what I mean? That's, I kind of think is what's going on. You have the episode 3 to 4 gap, and then you have the 6 to 7 gap.
Okay.
Where there's 30 years between 6 and 7, and there's, 19 or so between episode 3 and 4?
Mm-hmm.
So we're between 3 and 4 where Omega is young right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think Omega makes it and is going to show up in that other gap, but has been on Mount Tantus and is going to be captured. I think it's a sad story to the end of Bad Batch here, actually, in some way. I don't know. I could be wrong because that's not typically what happens. But, I mean, like the Clone Wars were bittersweet. That was a show where it ends up that Ahsoka's standing there and those troopers turned on her in Order 66. Yeah. And how did that all go down?
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Now I want to see the end of Rebels.
Oh, just you. Just you wait. And by the way, friends, don't be even thinking about trying to send any spoilers in our DMs. I'm telling you right now, I will be on the lookout. That is why we are blitzing through.
Yeah.
Okay, I cannot wait. So yeah, but yeah, so many good things to come. In my opinion, Echo will come back, but it's going to be at a dire moment when we need him. So he and Rex are going to go
on. Yeah, just like Sabine came
in. And do their things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So, and Rebels. So, yeah. Okay. Well, hey, friends, that is all for this episode. Wanted to get those two in. That was fun. It was a great, I was happy. I was surprised to see the two drop at the same time.
Yeah.
We got Palpatine. It was awesome. It was sick. And another masterful move by him. Mm-hmm. So that was great. It feels weird saying it was great because it's Palpatine, but at the same time, it's Palpatine. So
yeah, everyone agrees. Like,
it's a bad guy.
Even though they're the bad guys, but everyone loves Darth Vader and Palpatine.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time I do a short about those two individuals, they just take off like fire. And I'm like, come on. You know, I want to do one about another, you know, light side individual. And people are like, yeah, who can show us the dark side guys again?
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, geez, fine. Anyway, but friends in the future, hey, if you want to join the Jedi Council, we have members joining. Thank you to people over on Patreon who have signed up for The Mandalorian. We will have our studio set up. We'll be back fully operational is what I'm calling it. This battle station will be fully operational. So when The Mandalorian hits, we're going to be having, we've got a couple of different podcasters lined up for that and some other friends mm-hmm. of ours that are going to be on. And we would love for our council members to show up and chat with us too.
Yes.
So if you guys have time, like on a Friday or whatever it might be, it's going to be crazy. And we're probably going to be a little stressed, but I don't care. We're doing it. We're doing it on the weekends. It's something about The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I'm excited. It's wild. It's wild. Everyone is talking about it. It will bring people back to Star Wars who are like, what happens is they've done the Bad Batch here. People aren't watching week by week on this. They're like, I'll get a couple of men, two or three here and there or whatever, week by week on The Mandalorian they'll be watching.
Yeah.
And they'll want to know what's going down.
Yeah.
What's happening? So it's
like
that
the
big
Star
of a deal.
Wars Game of Thrones.
yeah, it really is actually, and they knocked it out of the park with season two when Luke Skywalker returns. I mean, that was wild. That was one of the more wild things. It's one of the most bold things I've seen Disney do.
Yeah,
for Star Wars in a long time, and that was huge. I think more of that boldness is coming.
They always bring Luke back.
Yeah, hey, he's never gone.
Yeah,
he's got a part to play. And now what's cool is they put him next to Ahsoka, and we're going to have more Ahsoka, Luke, Grogu, Mando. They're growing a really good universe there, I think. It's starting to feel really cohesive and good, and there's even tie back into, like I said, tie back into Bad Batch, tie back clearly into Rebels.
Yeah.
So you've got, I can't even say. There are people saying, Ez, finish that. No, not in front of Lottie. I can't, because she doesn't know.
Not yet.
She doesn't know what these connections are. Oh, we got to get it done.
Yeah.
We needed to like literally take a whole weekend and just binge the whole thing.
Let's do it.
So, all right. All right, friends. Hey, don't forget to send us that transmission at StarWarsHangout77@gmail.com. By the way, follow me over on Instagram at StarWarsHangout77. If you guys are wanting to chat, just talk, whatever it might be, that's the place to kind of reach old Ez right now. And I'd love to chat with you guys and talk some Star Wars here in the future. So, also, don't forget to check out Shell Cottage Radio. We've had some really cool guests. We have also guested over on Swish and Flick.
Yeehaw.
So, that was a fun episode. If you want to listen to our story a little bit more, you can check them out. We had, that was the Dumbledore Cave episode, right?
Yes.
Oh, boy. It was a little crazy.
That was kind of tough.
Yeah, it was tough. But it was fun.
It was lovely.
It was lovely. So, yeah. And then, we're going to have, again, like I said, more friends and guests on. But we're excited for you to check out those projects and, and join us in the future. So, yeah. Okay.
Are you planning on bringing one of the Swish and Flick members on?
Oh, I am. And I am definitely. Whether I have to force a microphone in their faces, I will. You better believe I will. So,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, be great. All right, friends. Well, hey, so stay tuned. Thank you guys so much. Please like and subscribe and all that good stuff. It really does help the podcast. We appreciate you. Again, we'll be dropping some extra episodes for you guys as well. So thank you so much. Stay tuned for all that goodness. And as always, may the Force
be with you.
Be with you.
Oh, I totally surprised you.
Yes, you did. We'll be right back.
how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.